Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light, with co-host Sandy, who will also be joining us as we listen to our special guest, Gloria Wood, social worker, author, evangelist, criminal justice advocate, motivational speaker, with a focus on criminal justice reform issues in the United States, the only country to have mass incarcerations. Gloria, in the outstanding work that she has been doing, has inspired others on both sides to become aware of the injustices in and out of the penal system. She has a daughter who has been incarcerated since 2009, and she is very passionate about sentencing issues and reentry for the incarcerated. We also talking about some of the issues, the current issues with the coronavirus and the extent that it has caused many in prison to go through is with psychologically because they are being forced to be in their cells much longer, many 22 hours to 24 hours a day, many without their belongings or very little, and many who are already suffering and becoming very depressed. So I'm hoping that people will start looking at making some calls, writing some letters, sending some emails to whomever, the governor, the politicians, or whoever else they can to stop this insane and this madness that's going on with the penal system, with the Department of Corrections in these states who are imposing such drastic measures to help these prisoners or so-called helping them come or prevent them from getting the coronavirus. So we have on with us now, I believe it is Sandy Freeze. Are you on with us, Sandy? Okay, is Gloria?
Yeah.
How are you, Gloria? We have Miss Woods on with us. And we are going to be asking her to tell us a little bit about herself for you and the audience. And everyone listen, because this is a very interesting situation we have here. Again, Gloria is a criminal justice advocate, author, evangelist, social worker, and a motivational speaker. So, Ms. Woods, would you like to introduce yourself to the audience and tell us more about yourself?
Yes, I'd be more than happy to do that. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very good and very honored to have you on with us today.
Yes. So my name's Gloria Woods, and I live down in the Panhandle in Pensacola, Florida, and I am by career a social worker and have been a social worker from 20-some years now. Most of my work affiliation has been in with the elderly population. At this point, I am working with Hospice, Covenant Care Hospice. That's a bit of background about my career and where I stand in my career and in that area. I am a mother of three adult children. My son, whom's the oldest, is, I want to say, he is 36 now. And then my middle daughter, who has been incarcerated, is 35, and I have a younger daughter who is 27, and I have three surviving grandchildren. And so basically, I am very, very concerned about the criminal justice system. I say that it is not a fair system. It is not a system of justice. If one of my favorite quotes from the Bible would be, what has the Lord required of me but to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly before our God? But I don't think that we are really doing justice to the incarcerated. And so that is kind of like my platform. Unfortunately, I had a very difficult incident that happened to us in 2009. I'm very, very transparent about it because it is what got me started in criminal justice reform. My middle daughter, who's been incarcerated for, 11 years, I think, now. And back in 2009, there was a lot of stuff going on in her life. Let me just say, as a juvenile, I tried to get her mental health help because she had some issues. And the caseworker actually told me, it's your problem. She's your child. She's your problem. So I think one thing led to another. And as a young mother with a father who was not in her kid's life at that particular time, she did some things that, she made some not good judgment decisions, and we ended up dealing with my youngest granddaughter, who was at that point 18 months old, and she lost her car, she lost her job, she lost her boyfriend, and she also kind of like veered away from the family. And we were trying to get in touch with her, but we couldn't. So ended up, there was an incident where my youngest granddaughter did pass away because of negligent manslaughter, manslaughter. The child died. I believe my daughter got fearful, and unfortunately, which was a very major event, she, I guess out of fear or whatever, placed the baby in the bin in the backyard, and it became a big deal, you know. And of course, our family went through traumatic experiences as a result of this. She did end up getting 5 years for the death of the child, but when she gets out, she will still be on probation for the other two children that were neglected as well. So I tell people all the time, it was not a very, very pleasant incident. I am not condoning anything that happened. But it also opened a door for me to find out so much that's going on in the criminal justice system. And so even though my daughter probably got what she should have, there are many people that are not getting proper sentences.
I'd like to step in for a minute. One of the things that really impressed me with you, Gloria, and I wanted to have you on the show, is because you and I are both social workers. I've been a social worker for over 40 years. Unfortunately, I had an incident with my only child, who is serving a life without parole for a first-time offense. And he was going through severe depression at the time. And these are reasons why I continuously let people know that people make first mistakes. And as Gloria said, we're not condoning it. But what we are saying is that there are people that have psychological issues that they're trying to address. In my son's situation, he was violated as a child and never told anyone about it until his last year of college. And he, in his last year of college, ended up in a relationship, not with someone from college, but someone he met outside the college. It was a toxic relationship. He exposed what happened. And finally, after all those years, disclosed to the wrong person what happened to him. And he is now serving a life sentence for something that he did 28 years ago with one shot. And unfortunately, this is what happened. But Gloria, I understand fully what you're saying, what you're going through, what your family went through. It happened with me. And I know that so many other people are out there. And like you, I started self-publishing. I stopped in 2003 when I started my organization, New Vision Organization. But I started writing because it was, and I know it's like therapy. And I want to know more about your book, because you have, with everything that you've done, you've been a motivational speaker. You've done so much. And I want you to tell the audience everything, and including your book. And the criminal justice system, I have to say, needs to be reformed. The parole boards need to be reformed. The Department of Corrections around the country need to have oversight. These things have to go on. So please continue.
So the book, let me just kind of tell you how the book developed, I did not realize Broken Shackles, A Mother's Journey, which is the name of the book, was going to even be a book. Because what I was doing from the time, I would say starting, it happened in 2009, 2010, I just started writing because I guess the twist that I had was that I spent probably the majority of my life in the church environment, serving church, doing church, what I quote, church stuff. And I just felt, you know, wow, God, what, why would you allow, and I'm going to be very honest and transparent. I said, God, why would you allow this to happen after I have served you all of these many years? And so I myself, for the first 6 months, dealt with depression. I went to the stress center because, and what brought me to the stress center was shortly after my all this happened. It was all publicized, all on the news and newspaper, and all this stuff. And you know, it was just really, really publicized everywhere. The investigators brought me at, you know, called me up and said, you know, Ms. Woods, this is investigator, whatever, and I need you to come over to the police station, and I need to get some mental health background on your daughter. And so I'm thinking that's what he's going to do. And so, but my brother, of course, I was staying with my brother for a short time because so much was going on. And we went over there, and my brother said, well, I'm going to, you know, keep your phone on, and I'm going to keep calling you. And if they start questioning you, saying stuff they shouldn't say, don't answer, don't give them no information or whatever. Not that I had anything to hide, but, and I'm going to make sure I'm down here because they wouldn't let him come up to where I was. And they began to interrogate me. They began to show me the pictures, all the pictures of my granddaughter. And this is the part that really took me over, was they said, where was your, they know nothing about me now, didn't know anything about me. I can't believe you, you know, it's obvious you have no Christian principles, because how could you allow it to happen and not try to help your granddaughter? So immediately I got depressed, I got really, really down, and I, you know, I started not. The next few days, I wasn't bathing, I wasn't eating or anything, so I ended up getting admitted to the stress center here in Escambia County, and it was awful. I couldn't sleep at night. I would constantly go to the graveyard and ask God, just why couldn't this happen to me instead of a 18-month-old baby? A lot of stuff happened, stuff happened, a lot of changes. And then, of course, when my daughter first got incarcerated, even though she had no car, she had no way to leave town, they made it a high-profile case. Excuse me. Saying they feared that she was a risk, danger. Excuse me. That she was a risk danger, and that she would leave and go somewhere. And so came a long process. We had continuous after continuances for 2 years. The public defenders convinced her not to go to trial, jury trial, and give her a plea bargain. And so she ended up just being sentenced. And so it was a very, very traumatic experience. At that particular time, I had a juvenile. My youngest daughter was in the ninth grade. So a lot happened during those periods of time. But during this whole process, I was writing. I was writing all the emotions, everything. It was kind of like, you know how they say you have those steps toward death. You know, I forgot exactly how we call it.
Yeah, know. you start off with shock, right. And it goes to, you know, frustration, and then
exactly.
Yeah, levels of
exactly
levels.
It's like I went through all of that, and so I hated seeing the courtroom. I despised seeing the courtroom. I mean, because we kept going. I mean, it was like constantly for 2 years. And I said to myself, I don't ever want to see a courtroom as long as I live. But it's amazing that as I started getting involved with different people, you know, that have been through incarceration and stuff, I kind of became the person that people needed to talk to. And several people said, I felt like if you could go through what you went through and still stand up and fight for criminal justice reform, we just feel like it was kind of like I was called.
It was like God had, yeah.
Yeah, it was
God
calling, had, you know. It was a calling, and it was like the thing that was meant to destroy me was actually the thing God used so that I can be a blessing to others. And I'm really, really concerned about the family unit when it comes to incarceration. And I talk about that in my book as well, you know, because I often say, people say, oh, well, you know, your daughter's incarcerated. No, the family becomes incarcerated.
Exactly.
The whole family unit, and it breaks down the family unit. Now, I just, you know, and when you don't have a lot of, at that time, you know, we didn't have a whole lot of money. My ex-husband wasn't supportive. So, you know, we didn't have dollars and dollars and dollars to get a good attorney to act on her behalf. And then I saw that with other people because everybody don't have the money to get their family member a good attorney. And sometimes if you do have all the money, it still doesn't help. Because
I was just going to say, yes, you spend all the money you have on an attorney that doesn't do the job they're supposed to
right.
do, and then you're
right,
out the
yeah.
money to someone that would do a good job.
So
yes.
it just turned one thing to the other. I got involved in Prison Fellowship, Angel Tree, through
mm-hmm.
and I literally, I did it at my church, but I literally was so, it was so much of a calling to me. You know, they provided the funds, but I literally, you know, called each family member, you know, once you get the list and everything, call each family member, you know, find out what is it that they think their loved one, the children needed. I went and bought the gifts, and it was like such a joy. It was like I was just, I know it was a calling, and then actually to go and deliver the gifts to those families and see, you know, the joy on some of their faces, because of course when you're incarcerated you don't have any money.
No.
And a lot of times it's either a single parent or an uncle or aunt or grandparent that's having to raise those kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one part of it. And then I start looking at, you know, what was going on in the prison. There's not really, the prison is not meant, I don't know why they call them correctional rehabilitation or whatever, because they're not there to rehabilitate most inmates. And when the inmate come out, then what do they have?
You know, before you go any further, I want to remark on that too. I started a petition about 4 months ago, and it's to replace prisons with long-term residential treatment facilities. There's about 400 signatures, but I keep encouraging people to sign the petition, because it does not mean that they're going to be letting everyone out of prison. What it does mean is rather than to have them in prisons around the country, not being rehabilitated, but being made worse by solitary confinement, by deprivation, mm-hmm. provocations, medical, psychological, spiritual neglect, these things are all they're lacking. These people need rehabilitation. So whether it be a long-term residential treatment facility for substance abuse, whether it be long-term residential treatment for mental health, whether it be long-term residential treatment facilities just for anger management, but put these people, replace these prisons with long-term residential treatment facilities where they have professional nurses, where they have professional psychiatrists, psychologists, social workers, criminals, these are the kind of things these prisons need.
Right, because my take on, I'm glad you said that, but my take on all of it, even if you have a person that's going to spend the rest of their life in prison, do you want them to just sit there doing nothing as opposed to allowing them to, you know, have something that they can look forward to even if they don't ever get out, you know?
I want to also say, when you mentioned, right, when you mentioned that, I want to also say this. A lot of prisoners throughout the country who are trying to take higher educational correspondence courses or who are, right, are trying to get work programs are being deprived. Many are being targeted, especially those of color. So these are some other issues that we need to address, because this is not helping anyone.
Right. I remember shortly after I wrote my book, a guy, well, it was actually his girlfriend, contacted me, and he has a life sentence, and he attempted to, he had one kind of 2-year degree, I think, or something, but he attempted to go back to school to get a 4-year degree, you know, and because they had a school program there, and they denied him. He had me write a letter. I wrote the letter to him, but it was like, just because a person is in prison, the mind is always thinking. It's going to think positively. So can't we still try to keep them thinking and the mind being fed and developed? But, you know, the system doesn't see it that way.
No. I've been interviewing the National Behavioral Therapist. And what happens right now is Miriam Jacobs talks about the comparison between prisons in other countries in this country. But there's,
right,
again, there's so much going on in these prisons. And Miriam Jacobs says that, and this is exactly what it is about. The reason we have mass incarcerations in America is because this country is all about hatred. It's all about vengeance. It's all about retaliatory actions. It's all about racism. All of these things combined is what's causing mass incarceration. People who commit,
right,
a first offense, whatever the first offense may be, should not be serving life and life without parole sentencing. They should not be,
right,
plea bargaining as your daughter, as you had to do with your daughter's situation, because plea bargaining is a lot of times is confessing to something that you did do, but you were not psychologically sane at the time, or it's something you didn't do. And these things,
right,
should be looked. And I need to say this real quickly. American Psychological Association and an American Psychiatric Association need to get more involved in these issues within the prisons. They know these things happen, and yet they don't come forward. And they're supposed to be getting all this money that they get for research and everything. They need to get more involved in the criminal justice areas and start letting people,
right,
bring in awareness of the damaging effects that these people go through that are incarcerated.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. Because I know that, and it probably happens with adult people in adult prisons too, but
of
I know
course.
To put a person in solitary confinement, we are not meant to be in no box by ourselves. And
no.
So that just makes the mental, I mean, you're making a person become a mental health danger.
It
just, I mean, I don't even think solitary confinement should be legal.
Well, you know,
don't.
There's a lot of advocates out working against it, but so far, it has become a reality. But our new leadership,
right,
the new leadership is talking about these issues we're talking about. Yeah. The thing about these people in prison, whether they're men or women, whether they're adolescents or adults, if there's mental health issues, they need to have the treatment, not be treated worse. Now, I tell a lot
right.
of people about the Daryl. You live in Florida. I don't know if you heard about the Daryl Rainey case, but Daryl Rainey was a mentally ill incarcerated individual. And that was a case where they scalded him to death. The prison guards put him in a shower stall, turned the shower up to 180 degrees, walked away laughing, and let that man scald to death. The people on the blocks could hear him screaming for his life. His skin, his muscle, everything separated from the bone. This is the kind of this is in the United States of America. I mean, this is the worst cruelty that ever be done. And they talk about other countries.
I think we're worse.
Mentally ill people need that treatment. They need not that abusive treatment, but they need the rehabilitative treatment. You know, it could these people that are doing it, if it happened to their loved ones, I don't know what they would do, but I know that with people who have lost loved ones in that kind of manner in this country. And you mentioned these being raised by a single parent. Thank God for my mother, my son's grandmother, because while I work, she babysat. You know, it's one of those situations. And some of us have gone through a lot of things ourselves, and this is what made us strong. When this happened with my son, I attempted suicide. I don't know how long after I woke up in the hospital. But after that, I left the country, and I traveled 11 third world countries. And that's what gave me strength. I was like yourself. I was in every church. I'd walk out of one into another. You know, I was reading the Bible constantly, trying to find answers as to why this happened. My son was a first-time offender. You know, he had never been in trouble before, never involved in drugs or alcohol or anything. They don't look at all sides. That's another thing. When situations happen, they look at one thing, and that's all they want to focus on when there's so many different issues.
Do you think it's a money thing, or do you think it, I mean, my question is, I guess, if we got so many people, and you know, we got mass incarceration, it is truly mass incarceration. So do you think it's because have an inmate generate more money?
That's exactly
they just don't
about.
Care.
We live in a country that the penal system, the criminal justice, it's all about money now. They have these prisons for profit. You know, they charge they charge for everything. And there's a lot of groups and advocacy organizations out there fighting right now to make phone calls free for these prisoners. Now, we have people in the communities upset because they're talking about giving prisoners the vaccine. What they don't realize is there's more than one or two vaccines. There's more than – there's three or four vaccines out there now. They want to give it to the prisoners. People think – they don't think it's fair. Well, let me tell the people right now, the audience and everyone else that thinks the prisoners are getting a break, there are some vaccines they're unsure of. They don't know if those vaccines are 100%.
Right.
So they are using prisoners for guinea pigs. They are using people in the nursing home for guinea pigs. So for you out there in the audience that thinks prisoners are getting away with anything, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. And you're going to have to thank those prisoners eventually because they're going to make the next vaccine that you get safe.
Right, yeah, that's true. That's a good point, yeah. Yeah,
but I admire you. You've come a long way from the pain and suffering I know that you've been through since 2009, and I know how difficult.
It's been a journey, not to say the least. I will say that, you know, even though I did not want to see my daughter become incarcerated, it's not a life you think your kid's gonna go through. And even though I'm not really all that gung-ho on private prisons, she is at a prison. It is a private prison in Gadsden, Florida. And she has done a lot of educational things so that she has that under her belt. My only fear in it is it going to really be effective for her when she comes out? Hopefully it will, you know, but I've just seen the judgment and how people react to people that are in prison. I don't care if they serve their time and it's, oh, you know, you've been done. You know, they said, quote, paid your debt to society. Do we really believe that, or is that just a cliche? Because I've seen so many people that they say that, true, but give them such a hard time once they get out. It's like we're still holding that sentence over their head.
I'm totally a very spiritual person myself, and I don't even think that this world is going to be existing when she comes out. I'm gonna say, and we see it all around us. You see it in the Bible where it says, if we can tell what the weather's going to be like, we can definitely tell the signs of the time. And
Second
Timothy chapter 3, it talks about the critical times, hard to deal with, and how people are going to be cold and heartless and boastful and all of these things. We see it all mm-hmm. around us. But I will say, there's a lot being done about things like that. And when she comes out, you really want to, if we're still existing, you really want to start looking at, and you said you belong to a fellow, a prison fellowship. There's the International mm-hmm. Network of Prison Ministries. And I used to belong to the New Vision Organization. We used to belong to the International Network of Prison Ministries, which they had them in all states. They had them in other countries. They had all kinds of programs and things like that. But those are the type of things that you'll want to look up. And also supportive aftercare resources in Florida. You know, supportive transitional housing in Florida. Whenever anyone looks up anything on the internet, they want to make sure they put their state in whatever it is that they're looking for. And it's there, financial assistance for former prisoners in Florida or in Massachusetts or wherever. The resources are out there. We just have to keep looking. As for the Corey, when she comes out, when anybody comes out of prison, they have been working on the Coreys to try to so that people, they don't see the Coreys anymore. I can't even think of the word, but they're making it so that the Coreys in many cases won't have to be used when they're in the case of looking for jobs or housing in specific cases. But there's mm-hmm. resources out there. And Beth Michael, she is the founder of the Christian Pen Pal Connection and also the Christian Pen Pal Resource Directory. And she has, mm-hmm. if you type in Christian Pen Pal Directory or prison, right now my head's going on. I just lost my brother a couple of days ago from the coronavirus.
Oh,
I'm not But anyway, Beth Michael, and I can have her in contact with you anyway or whoever is interested. But the resources are out there. We just have to do extensive research in trying to get these programs, these resources before your loved one does come out, and maybe even to help others you know of. And I'm sure you've met a lot through your daughter.
That's right. Yeah, to help others.
But the criminal justice. And how old is your daughter now?
She is 34. She went in when she was 22.
So she's been in 11 years now.
11 years. Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. She was 21, 22?
Well, it was 21 when the incident happened because it was in September of 2009, and then she turned 22 in that November,
My son was 24 when he went in. And do you know, what you were talking about, the putting all that out about you, I have to say, when that happened, a few months later, there was a lawyer from the same, not the same town, but it was on Cape Cod. And when this happened with my son, they put out my name, where I worked. I worked for a social service agency. They put my home address right to the number, right to the address. They put all my information. But yet when it happened, this lawyer's daughter stabbed her husband to death several times. And they only put down, this was a few months later, and they put down that she was from a line of judges and lawyers. Well, that person, to this day, you can't find her on the internet. They put her in a place to evaluate her, and that was the last anyone ever heard of her. When you type in the name in the internet, you can't even find her. It's like she disappeared. Now, that's the difference between an average person and one that comes from a line of lawyers and judges. That's the difference.
Right, the crazy thing about my daughter's situation, and they kind of threw this over her head. Around the time that this incident happened, and I'm not sure if the audience remembers this, there was a similar incident near Orlando with Casey Anthony.
Oh, yeah.
It was similar to that same incident. Of course, we know Casey Anthony got off. And so the public defender that we were using at that time, because we didn't have finances for a lawyer, through, that's why they convinced her for the plea. They said, well, you know, everybody's angry about that Casey Anthony incident, and, you know, you're going to go to prison for 60 years. They had already told her she's going to, you know, now these are the people that are supposed to be defending her now. Oh, you're going to at least get 60 years. You know, the state wants to give you 60 years in prison, and so you're 21 years old. You've never been to prison. You know, this has never happened to you. You're afraid. And so, of course, she just, no matter how the judge tried to convince her to go to trial. He said, you may have a chance, at least Ms. Woods, to go on, get probation or whatever, you know. And honestly, they had convinced her that she was going to end up all those years in prison, and that's why she took the plea that they wanted her to take, the public defender people. Mm. Not the state, but the public defenders.
Let me ask you, when she was in school, did she ever have an evaluation? Was there any documentation stating her, you know, her mental status?
This is what happened. This is what kind of blows me away. She was in middle school. And so in middle school, the counselor wanted to meet me. Her father was not together, but he did come to the meeting with the counselor, and the counselor was saying that we feel like there's some things going on. They didn't say, you know, like mental health, but she maybe have a little ADHD and stuff, things like that. He cursed the counselor out in front of me and said, I'm her father. I refuse to have her have any kind of counseling or anything, because there's nothing wrong with her.
You know, that's a problem too. The father, her father was wrong, right? It was her father.
Right.
I had asked a psychologist when my son was in the 10th grade, you know, he was depressed then, and I asked her if she would, you know, meet with them. And so the next time I saw her, she was telling me that he was depressed, but most kids that age do get depressed. You know, these are people that you try to get help from, and then there's barriers that prevent it. And your husband, probably because of his pride, didn't want to see her being seen by a psychologist, a psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, had we maybe been more aggressive about, maybe just even listen and just try, you know, maybe we could have caught some of the things early, because it just got worse and worse and worse, you know.
Have you ever heard of NAMI? Are you familiar with NAMI?
Yeah, I am. I am very familiar with NAMI.
Because the National Alliance for Mentally Ill, because they've been out for years. You know, I believe, and I'm not quite sure, but I believe a lot of it, that organization was established because a lot of people probably had loved ones with mental health issues that ended up in prison. And unfortunately, I wish they would be more involved as well in a lot of these issues with these people, men and women and youth, that are incarcerated because of psychological issues that resulted in their incarceration. And I tell everybody never to stereotype prisoners, because you have people in the communities that, are, you know, you do the crime, you do the time, and these are animals, they shouldn't be doing this, they did this, and they don't realize, it's like lightning, and I say this all the time, it can strike anyone, anywhere, and any time. And
that's
people
right.
in our society need to realize that. Circumstances.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yes. Circumstances occur, and we don't know how those things are going to happen. It is like you say in the Bible, we're not meant to direct our own steps, you know. And God forgave many. He forgave many. The Christ Jesus forgave those who committed sin. Look at the prostitute, and people in society, they try to put aside their own offenses, their own sins, their own wrongdoings by focusing more on people that they don't know, just by what they hear.
Right.
In the media, unfortunately, the media does not report half of the things that they should be reporting. They don't focus on the problems with the prisoners. If somebody gets hurt or dies at the hands of someone in uniform or someone with a title, they look for the person that died or the person that's no longer existing or the person that's going to prison. they look at them as these people are criminals. They don't look at the whole side of the story. And that's what happens in this country. It's all one-sided.
Mm-hmm. It is. Very one-sided.
Yeah.
So very,
can you tell the audience, Gloria, can you please let the audience know how they can get in contact with you, where they can purchase your book, or any your website, anything that you have that you might want them to be aware of?
Okay. Yes. Right now I'm in the middle of revamping my website, so it's kind of down right now, but hopefully within the next month I'll have it back up and running. But if you just email me at brokenshackles3@gmail.com, that's brokenshackles3@gmail.com, I can forward you all the information to get purchase the book. The book is basically, it's not on Amazon right now. I had it on Amazon because it's like a four-year-old book. I had it on Amazon at one point. But if you just kind of get in touch with me, I can send you, you know, my PayPal account, and you can purchase the book that way, or you can just send me the, you know, money, and I can get the book to you. There's no postage fee on the book. I mail the book to you without any postage charge. And so it's called Broken Shackles, A Mother's Journey, and it's very, very simple, easy read. It's not a very thick book. But it goes chapter by chapter, and about from the time it happened until the time God began to show me that all this was going to lead to a ministry. And so I'm very, very happy to do those things. I've gone to legislation, talked to legislators here in Pensacola, but also in Tallahassee, a few legislators. And so I have some experience with talking to legislators, and it's just all about trying to improve this awful, awful, I call it an awful penal justice. It is not a justice system at all.
No.
And we just have to try to, you know, like you said, like you said earlier, we have to try to call legislators and just kind of keep hammering at them, you know. I remember at first, I think I did a book. I had to go to a book conference probably shortly in 2018. And God had just given me this word that I needed to be a game changer. And he gave me, I think it was a few years back when LeBron was playing with, I think, the Cavaliers, and Golden State was at, you know, and they were winning, badgering them. And that particular year that, they came back. The Cleveland Cavaliers came back and won the series. And God used that example to me to say, you have to be a game changer. So your voice has to speak up. You can't just say, oh, well, it'll get better. It won't get better if we don't get involved. And
exactly.
So it may not so much be for my daughter, but it may be for somebody else's son or daughter, you know. And so I just feel like, you know, let's grab hands. Let's do what we can. Let's speak out. Let's, you know, encourage. You know, I think this show is such an encouragement, you know, to so many, many people. Because sometimes I can remember when my daughter first got incarcerated that night. It was in the middle of the night. And you kind of feel like you're there by yourself. But I
exactly.
found out, grab hands together and help each other with this fight. It'll make a difference, you know, and this is probably a bad example, but this is the example I kind of want to get about with us. When the Capitol was destroyed on that morning, on that day on January the 6th, guess what? No matter how bad it was, how wrong it was, they gathered together in multitudes of people.
Yeah.
Gathered together. I'm not saying criminal justice reformers need to go and do nothing to the Capitol, but what about us banding together to try
it
to make a
numbers.
Difference?
Exactly.
Right.
Success
you know,
in
numbers. That's why they. That's how they, something they could get to destroy it, because they had all those people. And so, bad example, but the point is, we need to gather in numbers, you know, and not just. So much, you know, just like what you're dealing with, something with your son, but you're helping multitudes of other people. It's not all about just what we're going through, but can we also gather together and help somebody else on what they're going through? And
exactly.
That's the message of Broken Shackles. It's not all about what I went through with my daughter. It is to help someone else. And there's an old song that I know we've heard years and years ago, if I could help somebody as I pass this way, my living would not be in vain. If I can help tear down the walls of this awful criminal justice system, I feel like God would be much pleased with what I'm doing in this season of my life.
Exactly. There are so many people, they claim to be righteous, but they ignore all the things that are happening. I want to say there are groups on Facebook that address specifically for what Gloria and I have been talking about. There are the parents with sons and daughters in prison. There's the Alabama mm-hmm. Resistance Movement. There's the History of Racial Injustice. There's the Legacy Programs. There's the We Are Their Voices group. There's the Ablaze Reform and Reentry, Convict Life, Justice for Prisoners. These are things that groups you can join in and try to be positive in what you're doing. Justice for Prisoners, Overturning Justice Group, Criminal Injustice in Prison Reform, Hills Projects, Helping End All Life Sentences, Massachusetts Incarcerated Individual Advocacy, Parents of Prisoners, The Power of a Praying Woman, The Falling U.S. Justice System Group, The Voices of Reform, Prison Reform Movement, Wrongfully Convicted Groups, Colorado Justice Reform, Coalition for Prison and Judicial Reform, Moms of Prisoners, End Solitary Confinement, Campaign to End Prisons for Profit, Committee for International Reform and Police Accountability, Concerned Mothers of Prisoners, National Coalition for Criminal Justice Reform, Journeys to Justice, Everyday Injustice, Human Rights Activists, Millions for Prisoners Human Rights Coalition, Coalition for Prison Reform, Revolution for Social Justice, Wrongfully Convicted, National Rally Day, The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness, the Prisoners' Rights Union, Voices from Inside Out, Massachusetts Prison and Advocacy and Reform, United Voices for Prison and Parole Reform, Solidarity Against DOC Brutality, Family Supporting Prisoners, Shakespeare and Prisons Network, Legal Services for Prisoners with Children, Stop Prison Abuses Now, End Mass Incarceration, Massachusetts, People Against Human Rights Violations, Support Group for Family and Friends of Ex-Prisoners, Advocates for Justice in America, Prison Reform, Fighting Against Injustice to Bring Hope, Raskins for Prison Reform, End Life Without Parole for First-Time Offenders of a Fatality, Prison Abuse, there's so many more. So if anybody just goes on the internet and types in prisoner advocates in Florida, there's so many people that can come together. People can contact Gloria Woods, author advocate for prison reform, and try to work with her, try to help in whatever ways that she sees and she's experienced. She knows exactly where the need is. And many of you who are willing to work with her as well are probably going through the same thing or have gone through the same thing. So, Gloria, I'm hoping that you'll be back again anyway, but I'm hoping that we'll see some progress beyond this show. We have 10 minutes left, but I'm hoping that people will get in contact with you, that they will look at
right.
your book and read it and see exactly what it's all about, because there are so many people, I'm sure, in the audience that don't have a clue of what parents go through, you know, when their children are suddenly taken from them, incarcerated. And I'm sorry, but even prisoners who have committed a fatal offense, a first mistake, at a time when they're psychologically dysfunctional, need to be looked at. They need to be not to be hated, not to be retaliated against, not to be targeted,
right.
but to actually know that they're serving their time for a crime they committed when they weren't even thinking in their right mind. And they
right.
don't need to be punished beyond punishment.
That's
and I'm
true,
glad that you brought it well.
Yeah.
I'm glad that
yeah,
she's doing
I
well right
now. Yes, I learned that through this process that I've gone through, and I'm sure you can agree with this or tell me that at probably at her age at 21, her her mind wasn't totally developed, no way.
And this is what they're talking about, yes.
Right.
That's exactly
right,
what,
exactly.
You know, that's, they have to look at this. I've read so many on the internet that these people that are incarcerated, anyone under the age of 25, they're even saying higher than that. But anyone under the age of 25 that had committed or has committed a crime, psychologically responsible for what they
I've heard it. I know it's at least at age 25 and under, not totally. Their minds are not developed as an adult.
No. If they can be in college from high school to college for 4 years and some for 6 years, if they can be in college all those times, they should still be considered not responsible because of their. But to go back to what we were talking about, prisoners should not be stereotyped. It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they have committed a crime, people that don't know them should not be judging based on the what they're hearing from other people, from their friends or from the media. They should not be judging. Like it says in Exodus 23, chapter 23, verses 1 to 3, it says, "Thou shalt not go with the multitude to do evil against a person." And this is exactly what we're living in, a country that does exactly what it shouldn't be.
Definitely are. Yes, that's true. The Bible is very specific. I mean, when you really think of the Bible, there were a lot of people that were put in prison, a lot of people that in our mind are probably men and strong men of God. They were put in, John the Baptist was thrown in prison. Paul and Silas both went to prison. Peter went to prison. A whole lot of people went to prison. Jesus was crucified between two criminals.
Exactly.
So, we can pretty much say that Jesus was incarcerated too.
And what
even
did
though
one
he
of the
was accused falsely, he still was incarcerated.
And what did one of the prisoners say to Jesus? What did Jesus say to one of the prisoners? One of them was mocking Jesus like the other, like all of
right.
those in the crowd. The other one said, defended Jesus. What did Jesus say? He said he would be with him in paradise. So
today you're with me in paradise.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that just shows to me, it shows Jesus is dying the most agonizing death that one could die. But Jesus on that cross stopped dying so that he could save. They call it a malefactor, but it's a criminal.
Yes.
And the other point that I bring up to people all the time, and sometimes church folks don't want to hear this, but it's scriptural, is that Jesus took the place of a notorious criminal called Barabbas.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
That means that. One pastor said, none of us can talk about people that are incarcerated. He said, because we all are Barabbases, every last one of us. Why? Because we've all done some kind of sin.
Exactly. Look
and
at those
God ain't
who are
concerned about what, I mean, the person, you know, and I know a lot of people, you know, when somebody kills somebody and, you know, we want to electrocute them and all that stuff, that's a whole other subject there. But, you know, we want to put that person here and there. But guess what? We all mess up.
You know, when you mentioned the death penalty, how many people in this country have pushed for the death penalty, have been a part of it, only to find out that many of the prisoners that they have executed were wrongfully executed, that
wrongfully
were innocent.
Even committed. They
now,
were wrongfully.
Exactly.
That's
so
a,
that
know,
makes
a lot of problems with the death penalty. But that's a problem because so many you find out later didn't even do what they got.
Exactly.
Lethal injection.
So these people that voted for it, these people that actually did it, makes them killers, makes them murderers. And
right.
yet they don't, they can justify
you
their own too. Their own sin.
Right, exactly. You don't kill somebody.
No. And another thing is, if you remember Moses killed an Egyptian. You know, King David not only impregnated his loyal servant's wife, but he had him killed too. And look at the apostle Paul before being struck down by Jesus. Wasn't he blinded? Wasn't he killing a lot of the Christians?
No,
he was persecuting the Christians. But yet God forgave him. You know something? We have a Bible that fits in our hands. If we had the Bible that covered everything, that, like it says in the Bible, the world could not contain, then that means that there would be so many things that people don't even know about. That's why it says all mysteries will be revealed in the very end, and all mysteries will be, because we are hitting the very end. We're not in the last days. We're in the last seconds. It says in the Bible, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. We're going into the third day when Jesus told his disciples, if they tear this temple down, I will rebuild it in 3 days. Well, if we look at the 1,000 years, and it says in Matthew, the book of Matthew, it says that unless he makes it short and shortens it, that none of people left will be. So we're looking at almost 3,000 years later. Things are going to come to an end.
Yes, 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 ma'am. You are so correct.
You know, we're living in a society where the people really need to start thinking, and they need to start changing their judgmental ways and attitudes. Because, like it says, if they don't forgive, if they don't judge, if they judge, they're going to be judged as well by the highest power.
Right. That's right. Yes. Yes.
But again, I want to have you back again. I want to know more about your book, and I'm going to be looking for it too. So let's hope and pray that people will learn something from the words in those books. But we have like almost 3 minutes left, so I'm going to let you finish up. And thank you so much.
Okay. Well, I just want to take this opportunity to thank you for giving me this opportunity. I'm going to share just quickly, really quickly. About a month ago, I got very, very discouraged because something happened to my younger daughter as well. And I had just got so discouraged about this whole incarceration and helping people. And I said, is it really even doing any good? And God said, no, you just got to keep pushing it. And so this right here means a lot to me, you letting me come on, because it's like a confirmation from God saying, you can't give up now. You got to keep pushing toward what you started. And there's a scripture that said, you ran well, but what did hinder you? I don't want anything to hinder me from doing what God's called me to do. I appreciate you, and I'm going to continue to follow you and follow this radio broadcast, because I think you're doing so much to keep people aware of these issues, and so that we can grab hands, like I said earlier, and help each other. So I'm grateful to God for this opportunity, and I am going to keep pushing, and Broken Shackles is going to go forward and see what else God has for us to do in this season. Thank you, thank you, thank you so very much.
Thank you, Gloria. And again, like I said, before the end of the month, we'll have you back on again. I'll be working out a schedule, a time, and a day that you can come back on again. But you have a lot to offer. And like I say, your situation is different. So your situation with your daughter, years ago, your daughter would be in the Department of Youth Services, but they have even changed that around. So a lot of young people are serving time in adult prisons, which is not fair at all either.
Yeah, that is not fair at all. Yes.
Mm-hmm. But again, we are going to be shutting down pretty soon, audience. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I hope that you will listen to the words and listen to the interview over and over again so that you can learn or even maybe make suggestions at some point in time when Gloria is back to call into the show, ask questions, make comments. Everyone needs to know what's going on in America, and we need to know what's going on in our penal system, because this mass incarceration is being looked at by all countries. We have Norway, who is a role model with no recidivism rate. We have Norway, we have Germany, all these countries that don't have these harsh sentencing, that don't do these things, and that have rehabilitative programs that work. So I'm hoping that all of you will listen in the next time as well as this time and be able to offer some suggestions. We are signing off now. Again, Ms. Gloria Woods, author and advocate for prison reform. And once again, Gloria, the name of your book again is Broken Shackles 3,
a mother's journey.
Thank you so much. And again, it's an honor to have you on.
Thank you so much for the invitation. God
Thank
bless you.
Bye-bye.